Hey, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, Peachy Keenan joins us to talk about the Barbie film. Kelly Shackelford talks about the Supreme Court case wins and more. Get your tickets to our Turning Point Action Conference. President Trump, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, Steve Bannon, and more. It is coming up right around the corner. TPAction.com. That is TPAction.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty, firstliberty.org. He won in front of the Supreme Court this session in a 9-0 decision. Incredible. Kelly Shackelford joins us, firstliberty.org. Kelly, congratulations. Tell us about your case.
This is really a major, major religious freedom case, which most people probably won't hear a lot about because these other cases that are coming down yesterday and today. But Yesterday, we won a case called Groff versus U.S. Postal Service. And what it's about is religious freedom in the workplace. For almost 50 years now, we've had a really bad Supreme Court decision in place that essentially stripped most of the religious freedom protection in the workplace that was there by statute. And it was really dishonest, the opinion. And we just completely flipped that around yesterday. So, everybody looks at this and Charlie and they say, hey, this is just a guy that wanted to have his Sabbath. Our client was Gerald Groff, who had strong beliefs about not working on Sunday. And he went to work for the Postal Service. And then all of a sudden they started forcing people to deliver on Sunday. And he asked for an accommodation under federal laws. He has a right to. And they basically didn't give him the accommodation and pushed him out of his job. And the reason they thought they could get away with that was because of this standard where they just eviscerated protection for religious liberty 46 years ago. Well, that's now really totally changed. And it restored religious freedom protection in the workplace for every American who works. And this is going to be really significant, way beyond just his type of case with a Sabbath. Think what this means. All these woke corporations that have been crushing people of faith, they're now going to have protection. Think of even what we went through with the pandemic, people who had religious objections to the vaccine. This is now going to give them a higher level of protection. So this is going to be a major change for the future for anybody who works and is a person of faith, that they can't be forced to do things to violate their faith.
No, it's a huge victory. Kelly, were you surprised to see 9-0? To get every justice to agree is quite rare. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I felt like we were going to win because it's just untenable to hold the position that the Supreme Court did. To tell you what the Supreme Court was doing 46 years ago, it's because they had such a bizarre view. They thought that it violated, separation of church and state to do anything favorable to religion, like accommodate religion. And so they just redrafted the statute. So everybody knew that that opinion was dishonest and was wrong, even the liberals and even the other side when the Solicitor General's office got up during the oral argument. But we weren't, we thought there might be some battling over this. And what ended up happening is, the reason we got it 9 is they didn't specifically and directly overturn that old case. They just did it by explanation. And the reason that was important to the liberals is they know a lot of these precedents that are really faulty and baseless are being overturned. And so they didn't want stare decisis, In other words, we got to stick with the old precedents. They didn't want this one overturned because they want to keep some of the old things in place. And so they said, look, we'll let you change all this back and give all this great religious freedom as long as you won't say you're reversing the old case. And so what Alito did instead is just deftly drafted an opinion that changed everything that had been going on for the last 46 years and how to interpret the case, but didn't specifically overrule it. But this is going to be big. I mean, you know, Charlie, think of people at Fortune 500 companies who are people of faith, you know, who are Christians or biblical believers at those places. I mean, how many of those people are in the shadows? How many of those people are really out there about what they believe because of the fear that if they are, they can be canned and they've really got very little protection? Well, that just all changed. I mean, there's now protection for people in these situations all across the country. We've got a lot of people we're representing who, you know, are called into the DEI office after 20 years of work and told to sign some transgender statement, and then they're fired if they don't. Well, now, you know, this is sort of a message to every HR department and every major corporation. You're in trouble now if you do anything like this. So this is going to really send shockwaves in the corporate community in a good way that's going to protect people of faith.
So Kelly, can you just give some, I know these weren't your other cases, but can you give some thoughts just on the other wins here? Affirmative action, student loan, and more, the religious liberty one. It wasn't your case, from what I understand, the one in Colorado. So your thoughts on first Colorado and then the others?
Yeah, Colorado was 303 Creative, and we filed an amicus brief in that because we have very similar clients. We have clients in Oregon, Aaron and Melissa Klein, who were ordered by the state, you know, to do a gay wedding cake. And so very similar to the 303 Creative. What they did today in the Supreme Court, first, what they took when they took that case, there was a religious liberty claim and a free speech claim. The court only accepted for review the free speech claim. So there's not a, although they're religious, the whole case is based upon free speech. And so what they said today is the government can't force you to say something you don't want to say. Everybody conceded in this case that, you know, they agreed that they would serve, or in this case, Lori, who's 303 Creative, agreed she would serve everybody. So it's not a matter of not serving people. It's a matter of not promoting other people's message. And so everybody agreed with that. So then the question is, can the government punish someone for not expressing a message that the government says is the only approved message? And I mean, it should have been 9-0, to be honest, Charlie. I mean, if people were principled at all, it's 9-0. But the three liberals just, you know, they tried to create a new case in the dissent. They tried to change the facts. The arguments made in the case by Colorado, just incredible. What they essentially said is, well, since this is commercial, since you're getting paid for your speech, we can now control your speech. We can have these regulations that tell you you can't say things. Well, so if you're an artist and you're selling your art, now the government's controlling what you're saying. If you're, you know, writing a book, the government, you know, and you're getting paid for it. So it was just unbelievable what they were arguing. And the fact that there's three justices who were in the dissent is mind-boggling. But this is a great victory for everybody who believes in free speech because you know, this is, it reminds me of the old cases when somebody wants to say something that's not culturally popular, that's when we find out if we have free speech. And in this case, this is a really good victory. And Justice Gorsuch wrote an excellent opinion. So it's a good thing for people who believe in the Constitution.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 1970s when the dollar decoupled from gold. And the U.S. government seems bent on continuing the tradition. From now until the next election, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did it, inflation went up 9%. This means one thing. The security of your future and your family's future is all in your hands. Make sure you freeze the value of your wealth that you are holding. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the one asset that has proven to withstand recession, inflation, and just about all other economic threats. Noble Gold Investments is here to help you if you want to invest in gold. You will also get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. They're the only gold company I trust. If you want to buy gold, they do a great job. Noblegoldinvestments.com, they're patriotic, transparent, ethical, and responsive. I think the world of Noble Gold Investments is where I buy my gold from. You should too. Noblegoldinvestments.com. Kelly, I want to play a piece of tape of Scalia here, and this doesn't do the best job of it. There's a better tape out there that I can't find, but this is a pretty good one of Scalia just kind of going back and forth with Peter Robinson from Uncommon Knowledge, just lamenting that, look, the court's opinion right now, they've lost their way. And look at how much has changed in 11 years. Play cut 110.
Why should it be necessary to devote more than 400 pages to a commonsensical principle?
That's a very good question. Well, the reason, as explained in the first part of the book, is that we've sort of gone off the rails, that nowadays, especially with regard to the Constitution, the accepted view and the view stated by my court repeatedly is that the words don't necessarily mean what they were understood to mean at the time, but can be given new meaning. It's up to the court.
In reading law, it's like picking up cosmic background radiation from some distant cataclysmic event.
Scalia was a minority on a court that regularly got it wrong, but he paved the way for this court, which mostly gets it right. Kelly Shackelford, Kelly, put into perspective, 10 years later, Scalia was bearish on the court. We've lost our way. We're not reading the Constitution anymore. 11 years later, Kelly Shackelford, your reaction?
Well, this is the huge thing that happened under Donald Trump with the justices on the Supreme Court. And, you know, most people don't know this, but really it's just, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever, when it's the first time we've had a court in 80 years who thinks their job is to find the original meaning of the text. Now, most people are shocked by that. They think, well, what were they doing? They weren't finding the original meaning of the Constitution? No, they felt like it was an evolving, living, breathing document that they could change how they wanted. And so they might disagree now on what is the original meaning, but they think that's their job. And boy, that has consequences. And so, you know, obviously Roe v. Wade, everybody knows about the Dobbs decision, but I mean, we have now had at First Liberty, we've had three landmark religious liberty wins at the Supreme Court in the last 12 months, Charlie. I mean, these are 50-year precedents that were just horrible. They weren't right. They weren't true. They weren't what the Constitution says. They're gone. And the biggest problem I'm struggling with a little bit, Charlie, is trying to help people understand that they have all these freedoms that they've been told their whole life they didn't have. You know, most people think right now you can't have a nativity scene. Yeah, you can. You know, and you can't have the coaches and football players praying after the game together. Yeah, you can. And we could just go on and on and on with things that have changed. And people, it's been so ingrained in people with these bad decisions that, you know, the biggest thing is going to be educating people to the freedoms that they have. And so this is why, Charlie, and we've talked about this before, this is why the left is so out of control, angry, and trying to really destroy the court. They want a court pack, which means they want to add a number of justices to the Supreme Court, which would destroy the court. They have had threats out in front of their homes, and they won't enforce the law to stop that. They've had a majority leader go on the steps of the court and threaten two of the justices. And now they've got every day, if you watch, there's 10, 20 articles attacking the ethics of the justices, which are bogus articles. But the idea is to do enough of these to sort of delegitimize the court so then they can remake it in their own image and do whatever they want, reform it, as they say. And so this is the one thing they don't control, and this is the one thing that's actually looking at what does the Constitution say, and the results are great. And so, boy, they are going after it with everything they've got. And that's why we did that website, supremecoup.com, because we've got over 500,000 people signing the, you know, I'm going to protect the independence of the judiciary declaration, including Ed Meese and all these famous people, but regular people all over the country, because we've got to stop that. And if we stop that, then boy, what's happening with our courts? We're just at the beginning of some great stuff.
Yes, we are. Kelly Shackelford, First Liberty, firstliberty.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Mike Lindell's a great American patriot. Don't you agree? We need to support Mike Lindell. The FBI went after him. It's terrible. Well, look, one way we can support Mike Lindell against these tyrants, these despots, these dictators, is MyPillow. MyPillow is having a massive closeout sale. It's happening on their all-season slippers. People continually make my slippers the number one selling MyPillow product. So let's do it right now. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, to support my friend Mike Lindell, great patriot. My slippers have an exclusive four-layer design that you won't find anywhere else in any other slipper. The patented layers make these slippers ultra comfortable and extremely durable. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to grab a pair of the all-season slippers for $25. Enter promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. They will not last long, so please order now. They help relieve stress on your feet, and they do a great job. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Okay, so apparently there's a new Barbie movie out, of which I guess people are really excited about. It's a big deal. There's a very interesting piece out for Revolver.News that says The Pink Menace. And joining us now is Peachy Keenan to walk us through why parents should not send or go to this movie with their kids. Peachy, tell us about this film.
Hey, Charlie. Yeah, so the film doesn't come out yet. It comes out in a couple weeks. And but the marketing campaign has been going on for months. And so I was excited about it. I have friends, moms who are excited about it. My 7-year-old daughter saw the trailer for it when we went to see Spider-Man. So she's been excited for Barbie. And I had no idea what was going to be in store for us until a few days ago. I saw the cover of Time Magazine with the cast. And lo and behold, one of Barbie's, she has three sidekicks in the movie, and one of her Barbie sidekicks is a man.
Okay. So what? Why is that significant?
Well, I think that having a transgender Barbie in a movie that really is a beloved kid's toy is certainly a new thing. I mean, I think there was a transgender Barbie doll they made of one of the actresses or actors on Orange is the New Black, Laverne Cox. But there was never really a transgender Barbie for kids. The other clues that this movie may not be what you think it is that it's PG-13 or suggestive language. And in the trailer, there's like a kind of a dirty sex joke that went over my 7-year-old's head. But my teenage son was like, what? I couldn't believe what he was hearing. And I mean, I was kind of prepared for like the, you know, Barbie as the feminist girl boss, escaping her perfect dream life for like the real world, choosing, you know, she has to choose like the red pill or the blue pill. It's a pink high heel to stay in Barbie dream world or the Birkenstock, the brown, comfortable Birkenstock sandal to go to, you know, feminist real world. And that's what she chooses. But I was really surprised to see that there was a man as a Barbie. And now, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, accusing them of being groomers. And look, I think it's being misinterpreted. Like no one, I'm not afraid that a transgender woman, you know, in other words, a biological man in a dress is going to molest my children, is a pedophile necessarily. It's really about psychological grooming, right? So if I take my 7-year-old daughter to this movie and she finds out later, oh, one of those characters, one of the female Barbies was actually a boy. And I couldn't even tell mommy. And so that makes it like, okay, she passes or he passes or whatever. So that is sort of it psychologically grooming them to accept it, to think it's totally fine, completely normal, and that little boys can in fact grow up to be female Barbie dolls.
So just so everybody understands, so one of the kind of, apparently this movie's a big deal, not my world.
Yeah.
But the group of dolls is called Barbie, but the main Barbie is also named Barbie, but this is basically trans propaganda that is in this like hyper feminine, ultra pink propaganda thing, but it's really been taken over by the trans mafia. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, like you can go now, you can buy, you know, Dr. Barbie, veterinarian Barbie. So there's, you know, Barbies of every race, like that's all fine. No problem. And it's very interesting in this one, there's stereotypical Barbie played by Margot Robbie. And I think that a lot of people on the right were sort of excited that they were going with like the retro, you know, the OG Barbie, the blonde, blue eyed, like thin, cute Barbie. Like, wow, this is like, is this movie based? Is this going to be kind of a conservative trad Barbie? And yes, that character is. but she has, you know, her rainbow coalition of Barbies around her. I think there's one who's a lesbian in real life. Then there's another actress who actually is also a lesbian. And then you have this, the man portraying one of the female Barbies. And I thought it was very incredible that the transgender woman Barbie is Dr. Barbie. So that, to me, I mean, what else do you need to know about this movie? It's not for kids.
So is this a theme that we're seeing? I mean, just the various, why is Hollywood incapable of making positive, exciting, broadly appealing content? Why do they have to lace it with this trans propaganda?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every movie, even like the younger you go with the movie, the younger the age group that you're targeting, the more nefarious it is, the more overt it is almost. I mean, the new Disney Pixar flop, it's a giant colossal flop, Elemental. I haven't seen it, but I do know that there is, for some reason, one of the cartoon characters is a non-binary child who uses they, them pronouns in the movie. For what reason? Well, to satisfy Disney's, you know, ESG score. I mean, that's basically the reason. And what's interesting is that Disney just canned their head of DEI. Because of this flop, because of the Lightyear flop, which had, you know, the random lesbian kiss for no real reason other than, again, the ESG score and the virtue points. And so Disney is just producing flop after flop. With this movie, with Mattel, they've been, you know, dabbling in wokeism now for like a long time with all the different, you know, Barbies. Like I said, they did have a transgender Barbie doll. But they're trying to cover all their bases. And what they're doing, though, effectively is just like Disney, they're going to end up alienating their core constituency, which is mothers of little girls. And so, again, we have just an unbelievably boneheaded decision. The CEO of Mattel, Yvonne Kreese, he has been, you know, they've been planning Barbie movie for years. They've been working on it, different ideas. Amy Schumer backed out of playing Barbie because it wasn't woke enough. It wasn't feminist enough for her. You know, and then enter Greta Gerwig, who is a female screenwriter. She's the one who kind of made Little Women into a girl boss, modernized girl boss, teenage adventure movie. And so it's just inevitable that the people now who are in charge, who are making the decisions, who are writing these scripts, who are casting them, are all just so far outside of what, you know, kind of a regular mom could even envision. And the thing that's so insidious about this movie is that when you see the trailer, it looks so fun. It looks like such a perfect fun, the colors and the pink, and it's just so cute, right? Who wouldn't love to go to this movie, her little pink Corvette? And it's all the more insidious. I mean, it's one of the reasons why they dress everything up in rainbows and unicorns and glitter. It's really to attract children. I mean, we see this in their parades and all the Target displays. It just, they know really how to reach into the heart of a little girl and kind of like, you know, it's very seductive. It is a long process of seducing them into thinking that this is all fine. And I mean, look, it's going to be a huge hit. There's nothing we can do really to stop it. Although I'm trying right now to get the word out to moms because none of them know about this. I had a mom literally like, the reason I wrote the article is a mom was like, I can't wait to go see Barbie. This is a conservative, trad Catholic mom of a million kids. And I was like, well, you might want to hold up. I'm not sure if you really want to take your daughter to this.
You know, yeah, this is definitely proof that God created men and women differently. I saw a short trailer. I thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. The pink, how artificial, and it was awful. I said, who would want to see this? And I was like, there's no way this thing's going to succeed. And apparently people like it. Yeah. So parents, is the answer then just to boycott? Is that the answer?
I mean, I think so. I mean, at the very least, this is not a movie where you get all the like your 6-year-old daughter and all her friends and like head down to the theater and see it. I mean, look, we were going to do that. That was the plan. As of a couple of days ago, we were all going to go see it, all the friends. And now I think, no, I'm not going because I don't want my little kids that I know to think, oh, maybe it is okay for a boy to say he's a Barbie and to say he's a woman. Like it's just, it normalizes it to such a degree. And that is why they're targeting the children. So look, can we do a boycott of it? Like Bud Light? I mean, yeah, we should. Boycott Barbie movie, 100%. We're not going to get everybody. You know, I still have friends who, you know, boycott Target online, but sneak over to Target you know, don't tell anybody, but they're going to hit target anyway. It's hard. It's so hard to put the onus on us, just these, like, we're normal people trying to look for a nice movie to see with the kids over summer vacation. You know, what are our alternatives? It used to be, I don't know, Charlie, when you grew up, I remember every weekend in summer, there would be like 5 or 6 movies that I would be able to see. These were like 4-quadrant, family-friendly movies. You know, maybe there'd be 1 S word in the whole movie. You know, that was it. And it was just these summer memories of going to movie after movie and just kind of engaging in American culture at its peak. And now we're getting these sort of rehashed stories based on toys that, okay, fine, but the storylines are just, you know, just dried out old feminist cliches, infused also now with the latest, you know, the latest narrative, which is, isn't it great how a man can be a woman?
Yeah, in what is considered to be a family-friendly film. And it also should be the tell. If it really was family-friendly, why is it not PG? Why does it have to be PG-13? And by the way, the whole rating thing is just so corrupt. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Just when you thought the government would stop trying to take over healthcare, Senator Bernie Sanders, that socialist Marxist communist, is pushing something that is no good. I need your attention right now. I'm urgently asking you to support the Council for Citizens Against Government Waste to stop the Senate from passing the Sanders bill, S1339. It would raise the price of prescription drugs by making it harder for pharmacy benefit managers to continue to save an average of $1,000 per year for 275 million Americans just like you. Bernie Sanders, he is a sneaky commie. I'll tell you what, he will not lower prescription drug prices despite what the bill says. It will create a socialist healthcare system here in America. I've read the bill. It's dangerous. You got to stop it. You have to sign lowermydrugprices.com. I'm telling you, I'm involved in this. You got to get into the game. Add your name to thousands who are standing up and saying you don't want more government interference in healthcare, but you must hurry. The Sanders bill will come up for a vote in only a few weeks. Go to lowermydrugprices.com. All of us together must oppose the Marxist Bernie Sanders. Lowermydrugprices.com. So Peachy, it's the last day of Sodom month. And I think that we can say that we pushed back a little bit as we reflect. How would you grade the conservative movement as far as our ability to call out the nonsense, do some boycotts, have a little bit more courage in years past? Your thoughts, Peachy?
I think this was our best response yet. I mean, I think that no one ever really responded. But they never really went as far as they did this past month. You know, it used to be a day, right? Now it's a month, or a whole summer, as the Admiral called it. But I think we did a pretty good job. I think that people started having fun with the pushbacks. People were enjoying seeing the price of, you know, the Bud Light stock go into the toilet. So I think that next year we just have to really, you know, hopefully have a more sustained campaign, maybe some good hashtags. Do our best to make people have more fun pushing back, because that's what people enjoy doing. You know, use tactics your side enjoys. That's what they've always done. And I think for once we sort of dabbling in that. You know, I told you I caught the tail end of the SF Pride parade by accident. I was stuck in a traffic jam. And we were like, what are all these people? And I just saw family after family in full head to toe rainbow gear with their little kids waving the flag. So I think we should start having our own parades next Pride Month, you know, family Pride Month.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. They would get the cartel would get very violent against us.
That's right.
And it would make the Sinaloa cartel look like child's play. Very violent people, the trans folks are. So no, but Peachy, what are the lessons here? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think that the gay mafia is less enthusiastic and public than they were a month ago. They're a little uncertain. I mean, there's some elements, but there's some pushback. We're seeing it in public opinion polls. We're seeing this trans tyranny fall out of favor with people. And now I think we need to keep the pressure on throughout the summer. And we were kind of lamenting going into Pride Month, but we saw Starbucks rescind some stuff. We saw some people put up a flag and put down the flag. I mean, there's still the colonized cities here or there where you see nothing but the flags. But I don't want to say we're winning. Mm-hmm. But here's what I'll say, and I've said it for a while. I used to say we have not only begun to fight. I think this month we have begun to fight. Not to mention the strip club at the White House. with the trans person that took off all their clothes. Peachy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we have begun to fight. I mean, basically, we fully lost the first battle. They won, right? When they have drag queens inside a kindergarten classroom, they've won. But now we have kind of started a new fight. The battle has finally really been joined. I think it started with COVID, with parents speaking up at school board meetings and fighting back on all the mandates. And now we have this big juicy target, and you know they really have pushed too far. They've let their clown mask slip, and we can see who these people are now. They've taken it like just so far, and you know the level of nudity I witnessed at the parade in front of little kids, men and grown men, like nude with like a little strip of leather covering one square millimeter of their bodies. These are not attractive people. They are not going to be hard to defeat. They're ludicrous. Their message is completely empty. It's a dead end. It's a spiritual dead end. It's a genetic dead end. They want their constituents to sterilize their own children. I mean, how far can they go? It's over for them in a generation. And so, yes, I think now is the time to put the pedal to the metal and take it to the finish line.
I agree. It is a genetic dead end. They cannot reproduce, mm-hmm. so they have to try and recruit.
That's
Peachy
right.
Keenan, thank you so much. And Pride Month is gone, and let next Pride Month be even weaker for the bad guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
And I want to just say a couple things. They're going after children, and they are not stopping. They will not stop unless we stop them. It is that simple. How do we stop them? Well, I think we're finally starting to discover the resolve, the intestinal fortitude that is necessary, that is required to push back against the Rainbow Jihad's nonstop campaign on our country. It's the final day of Pride Month, and we finally began to fight back. We've made progress. We put some wins on the board, and you all deserve credit for that. The boycotts, the I'm not going to shop there, the you're not going to touch my kids. But we're not going to stop. And for the Alphabet cartel out there, I think they're finally afraid. And they should be afraid. Not afraid of any physical retaliation, because we're a peaceful movement. But they should be afraid, because what they're doing, grooming and perverting our children, is unpopular. And in the end, if we commit to this fight, we will win and the perverts will lose. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.